Now call this regular session of the Junction City City Council to order at 6:30 in the evening on October 26, 2021. And since the young lady who is going to be here to discuss our homeless this problem is not able to be here, I'm going to close out the regular session at 6:31 and open up a meeting for our work session on the same date, 10/26 of 21. And dispense with the oath, the flag. It's not on here, so. Oh, it's up there. Okay. Don't mind me, it's one of those days, okay? Everyone want to stand and join me. Pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We will. Councilor Washburn is unable to be with us tonight, but we will do the roll call of everyone else. Councilor Ken Wells.
Here.
Councilor John Gamby.
Here.
Councilor Sandy Thomas.
Here.
Councilor Andrea Siniga.
Here.
And Councilor Karen Leach.
Here.
Thank you all very much. And we are going to be working on the council goal session. And I asked Mike today, bless his heart at the last minute, to bring some together, some figures from the budget in case that we needed them for some reason. We can see how much money we have and what the projections are as far as the general fund goes. And let's see. Maybe help us with this. Well, it looks like we have an hour. And so, unless the staff has something, staff have anything they want to, before we get started on this, okay? We'll start with Councilor Thomas down here and just go through what you have in mind for the goals for the council.
I have thought about this, and I'm not sure. I looked at that 5, 10, 20 years, and the way things change so fast, I'm thinking we ought to just look at maybe 5 years out at the very most, because the way things change so fast, we would probably be outdated with some of our thinking. You know, some of our goals would be outdated.
Okay.
As fast as computers and phones and everything else are changing and different ways of doing things with city.
Okay. And we'll go to Councilor Asana.
So are you wanting just like kind of what our thoughts are about our...
Yes.
Like what we want to see in the 5, 10, 20 years from now?
Well, not so much that. It's just our goals in general. We'll go on to the 5, 10, and 20 year. But right now, it's what you personally would like, what you think the citizens want, what you think that should be the goals of the council.
So something I think that should be one of our goals is a traffic master plan. And I think we're going to learn a little bit more about that at the community development meeting, hopefully. As we'll have a guest speaker for that, but I think we don't have any sort of a traffic plan, and our traffic is increasing daily, it seems like. So I think just the traffic part, but I'd also like to hear, since we do have both our department heads here, like kind of what they're looking at for their future too, and take that into consideration as well.
Yeah, they're not gonna get off easy. It's, they didn't say anything when I asked, but they're gonna get to it after we have our say. So, anything else that?
No.
Okay. Councilor Canby.
So I was thinking a lot about how we were gonna do this, the work session, because I really like the idea, but I'm hoping we can get a couple go-arounds and that we're not limited just to what we say in the first couple minutes. Because I think as different people have ideas and bring up stuff, but I was wondering, like, what becomes of the idea? So like, for example, like, I guess, what's the format, or how are we going to discuss when somebody has an idea? Like, Councillor Thomas had an interesting point, you know, things change rapidly, so why spend the time on a 20-year plan? Why don't we just focus on 5 years? So, like, now that she said that idea, what happens to that idea? I want to know that before I throw my ideas out there. Do we know that, or are we going to find that out as we go through the discussion tonight?
I think we'll hopefully find out as we go through the discussion. Right now, just preliminary, trying to see what ideas everyone has in regard to both the goals for the town and for if we need a 5, 10, 20 year. Both of y'all brought up a good point, because things are changing so fast.
Yeah, okay. Well, then I'll just throw some things out there. So, I thought the discussion that the council had on our council rules was enlightening, and I learned a lot from that discussion. So I thought that process we went through of trying to define what some rules for the council would be was productive. I'm curious if there isn't some more things in the charter that regard the council that we might want to expand on and include in that discussion. For example, one of the things in the charter that it asks us to do is to appoint a new city councilor if somebody loses their seat for some reason or resigns or something. But when we did the council rules, we didn't address that aspect of our duty. So I'm wondering if there might not be many more things in the charter that are part of our duty that didn't get brought up in the council rules that we just passed a few weeks ago. And if I just really liked how that combined all the parts from all these different places in our laws, it brought it all together into this very easy to read and, you know, refer back to. But I wondered, as we went through that process, if there wasn't more things in the charter regarding the council that could also be added into that packet, so we have a clear idea of all the things that are part of our responsibilities. So that's one thing. Okay. Would you like me to say another?
Yeah. Or got the floor.
Okay. So I think one of the goals that I feel like a lot of citizens have, a lot of the people that we're supposed to represent, it was actually a very big theme in our last election. When we had the election, we had that city, candidates forum. Three things that came up repeatedly over and over and over again was streets, water, and police. So my feeling is that 90% of the city, those are the three things they care about. And everything else that the city does is kind of obscure in relationship to those three things. So I'd like to have goals that reflect progress or improvement and addressing, I don't pretend to represent 90% of the people out there, but I do feel like a big chunk of our city, those are the three big things they care about. And we spend a lot of time talking about other things. But police, streets, water, those are their big concerns. Those are the things that come up more often than anything else that I see. And so I think what Councilor Senega probably is a part of that. The transportation plan is probably a huge part of the streets. And in saying that, I'm not saying in any shape or form that we're not addressing those things, but what I'd like to see perhaps is a way to measure it instead of just talking about it from time to time based on what someone said. I'd like to see if there might be a way that we could establish like a metric that says, hey, you know, 85% of the streets in town are in great shape, 5% are in poor shape, and 10% are in decent shape, and we could track that instead of it just kind of being something we talk about if we see a pothole on, you know, Addison, which I know is in a city street. I don't think it's a city street. It might be a city street. But that's what I mean. I don't think that's really productive. Hey, I saw a pothole today. Well, meanwhile, Gary's saying, yeah, there's 63 potholes. We're addressing it. So I'd like to figure out a way, if possible, maybe there's no way to do it, but that's a goal. If I'm going to put a goal out on the table, like to actually have a metric, not just respond to what is blowing in the breeze because somebody's ticked off about something, you know, and we could actually respond and say, yeah, actually 90% of the streets right now in town are in great shape. 5 are under construction. 5%, you know, are in the next go around. They're in the queue for next year. And then we could actually see, then a year later we could say, oh, hey, 92% of the street right now is in great shape. That's improvement from last year, instead of just like we had all those complaints about water. Well, I know our guys did a bunch of work on the water, and I know that the complaints dropped a lot, but there's no metric, so I don't really know how much. And if somebody does have a water complaint, all of a sudden it blows everything up again as if no progress has been made. Well, I don't really think that's true. I think a ton of progress has been made, but how do we demonstrate that? So that's another thing. And so I'm gonna leave it at that for now. But I have some more ideas in the 5, 10, and 20-year plan section, so look forward for more. But I'll go ahead and stop for now.
That's what I'm asking for.
Well, sure.
What we're supposed to be doing tonight.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important part, John, is the idea is to talk, to discuss. That sounds like a great idea. Well, that one kind of sucks. I don't like that. But, you know, you have to be honest, too, and say, I think that you're absolutely 100% correct. In all the stuff last summer.
I'm calling on
I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to speak.
No, I'm calling on you next. So, but go ahead.
Okay, you're absolutely right about the most that I found last summer. The concerns were streets, water, and police. Everything else, the pool got in there a lot, community services, but those were the three main topics. And those were the top on my list that, you know, I brought that I've gone over this last week. Just, you know, talking to people and trying to figure out what is important. And I think you're right that the idea of goals is to write down. Our goal for the water is da-da-da-da-da. This is what we'd like to see done. Gary, is that possible? Can we do that? Are we thinking too big?
Water's a little bit tough to track. The streets is easy. I've done that once before for the council about kind of judging the streets, making a list of what ones were good, fair, and bad.
Yeah.
And then being able to pick those up, which is how we chose the streets we chose this year to do.
Right.
Water gets a little bit tough, but I mean, I guess it depends on how in-depth you want to get.
I think, and to tag in, Gary, with what, you know, Gary's talking about, I think, you know, there's some metrics to be looked at. I mean, to say we want clean water, that
yeah,
it's a simple statement, but it's a complex answer.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, with that statement of having clean water, it's like, okay, staff can come back and say, okay, here are the things that are impacting that. So, like, we know we have older water line in town. So maybe that's a metric saying, how much of that are we replacing every year? Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing to do. You know, it's not really a, is the water clean or not? It's a, here's the identified contributors to the problem. Now we've developed some metrics based on that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, so that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's good for staff to hear.
Yeah.
And then we can brainstorm and say, right. Okay, here's a way to do that.
It's right. Kind of the way we started with the flyer that we did this year to get information out about yep. What projects are coming and what we're doing to correct some of those issues that people have complained about, which I think worked really well. I've got a lot of positive feedback from it. A lot of people really enjoyed getting that and knowing what's happening. So,
and we've got one coming out this fall to say, okay, this is what we said we were going to do.
Yeah.
Now here's what we've done.
Yeah. I ran across that today.
Back out.
Your letter.
Here's what we tried to do. Here's our wish list. Here's our, what we think we can get. And now, hey, everybody, here's what we actually got this month.
Yeah. And that's the communication, huge. It's just huge. That letter, people, oh my gosh, they loved it. You know, it was like, oh, now that's what's going on. This street, that street. You know, the water, that it was great. And that is huge. And as far as pinning you down, you know, I think more with the water thing, just in general, letting people know what's going on.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, if you're basing it off of what we think is causing some of the problems and how we're addressing that, that's fairly easy to do.
Yeah.
But like Jason said, I want clean water. That's a
exactly.
You know,
it's
pretty tough. What you consider clean, what I consider clean, what Chief Morse considers clean is all different.
Right.
So
right.
That's pretty hard. But to identify, here's our oldest pipes in town, and here's how we're going to pick those off. That's easy.
Yeah. Yeah, like I say, that's...
Okay, did you have anything else, Councillor Leach?
Well, those were my top.
Okay.
Yeah, the three.
Like I say, we're just doing an overview, and we'll come back to Council.
Oh, I'm not done. Believe me, I'm not done. Jason knows I'm not done.
I guess I looked at this maybe as a little different, like as far as the Council goals set session. I kind of looked at that as, what do we want to get accomplished with this council we have sitting here right now?
Mm-hmm.
And so we may be looking at a 2-year when the next election is, but what is important to us right now? And I think we had a good start on some of those things that Councillor Gamby mentioned, where, you know, we've accomplished some good things. Well, we did look at, the Judiciary Committee looked at things, the other committees looked at things, and they brought it back to the council. One thing I think is important, and I think we as a council need to see what we can do or help the city to get it done, is because, and I'm glad we have the budget here, because we need to get our police department fully staffed. If we say we have 10 police officers, and then I look at this and we only have 7, we're under-providing for the citizens of this town. And if that means we need to spend money in recruiting, or we think we need to spend money on ABC to get us there, that's where the council comes in and supports whatever money we need to do through the budget process. But I think that is very important. I don't know if we have it, but we've talked about it, and I've been gone for a few months, but I don't see how we can decide what facilities we have if we don't have a facilities plan. And I think that's something we need to, if it's done, fine, I'll apologize. But if not, I think that's something during our council we need to get done. I liked your idea, John. You were talking about the city, review the city charter and how some of those things in it. All I want to say is that might want to fall under our 5, 10, or 15-year plan, because it takes a vote if we change things in the city charter. Is that, yes. So we would have to take these things.
Go to the community.
Of the community, yes, of the community. So it's going to take longer for that process. Now, we could go through with our goals and maybe identify things we want to change, but we can't enact it until the citizens of our city vote. And that's, Mayor, I would say that's short presentation that I have.
I'm going to go to the staff that is here now. Police chief, what do you have anything to add to what you've heard, or for the council that from the police department that we need to be looking at as goals besides what Councilor Wells has brought up about that we need to be have a fully staffed police department?
I think that that's very accurate. And what he's looking at there are the allocations. The police chief and the deputy chief are counted. We're funded for a total of 9 positions. And so it's seven officers and then the deputy chief and myself. I think with the housing developments that are coming in, I think that that is going to actually drive our need. And I think that ultimately in 4 to 5 years, we're definitely going to need more than 9 full-time people. But beyond that, I don't, you know, I kind of misconstrued. I thought this was something like you did, where the council was setting goals for what they were doing. I didn't come prepared really with any numbers or any real ideas, other than I know that, you know, as the population grows and the traffic grows, so too is going to be the need for staffing.
Yeah.
May I speak?
Yeah, we're not in any, like you say, if you have something you want to share.
I know you said periodically that you were going to bring back the reserves. Would that not help?
That absolutely would, and we are actively recruiting, and we've had people that we have actually put in the background, and they have either failed background or they have failed psych.
Well, that I think would be...
Oh, no, I absolutely agree with you. I think that
we
that,
need... That yeah. was a huge program that really helped the regular officers.
Yep, I
they
agree.
Were regular patrols. People knew these guys, and that was one right there. I think that's really important, and that is something else that people said, talking to people, and they still do, that they like that coverage. They like knowing the people that were on.
And we like that as well. I agree with you. 100% agree with you.
Yep. So you're budgeted for 9, and you have 9 full-time officers.
We're down 2 people right now. We're looking we're looking for laterals. What we need right now are laterals. Cottage Grove is down, I think, 4 or 5 officers. Places are not being able to find people. People are not wanting to come into law enforcement.
What is laterals?
It becomes a... I'm sorry.
What are laterals?
An officer that's already experienced that we can put out on the street. So we've got recruits, but they have to be with a field training officer for about a year. And there's a long training process. Here I'm looking at... If I've got somebody who's worked for Albany for 6 years, if I could entice them to come down here, our base salary actually is really pretty good, but it's not enough to incentivize people. A lot of places have signing bonuses. A lot of people are doing some other outside-the-box things as far as housing stipends, housing reimbursements, that type of thing. There's a whole bunch of things that we... through public safety we want to talk about and see what public safety thinks. But it's getting the people here is the issue.
Yeah, go ahead.
So instead of making this a police-centric discussion, I don't think that's really helpful with this moment because it's not just the police department. Sanitation, for a sanitation worker, entry-level position with the city. Normally we throw it out for 2 weeks and get 100 applications. We had it out for, what, a month?
Over a month, yeah.
And got 10.
Yeah.
And even then, we had to open back up again, and it just has been this process. We're struggling recruiting an accountant that, we made an offer to one, and then it came back. But again, very small numbers. We've not been able to find anyone remotely qualified for the senior center yet. We've been after that one for...
How long?
At least a month.
A month, 6 weeks. We lucked out with the HR position, quite honestly. If it wasn't for guaranteed downsizing, we probably would still be looking for that position.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just one department or one area.
Yeah.
And I think the council, it would be a really good use of the council's time to look at this kind of a topic citywide, not just one department or one area overall.
Yeah, I was going to go through the other, but... They are here, so I wanted to hear from them to get information for us. So.
Yes, we just felt like the conversation was just narrowing into one department, and I wanted to make sure everybody's aware it's not just DD.
Yeah, well, that seems to be all over the United States that are having trouble getting people.
Would it help to offer bonuses? Because we do have money in the budget, but.
Well, there's a lot of different things I have our HR assistant looking into, so we can bring back some concepts and ideas that other communities are using and how effective they've been. So, you know, that's just one of many different options that we want to bring back.
Thomas?
Yeah, when Councilor Gamby was talking, it reminded me also that we have got to do a big sewer upgrade that we need to put into our, I guess it'd be in the city plan for big bucks. And I had an idea, I'm just going to throw it out there since it's a work session, is maybe resolve the revolving loan fund and take that money towards putting on our sewer, which is a couple of million, isn't that, which is something like that? Anyway,
it would be several million. Yeah, so if you look at the sewer, we have a rate study in play that accounts for a certain amount. We're talking tens of millions, not just a couple million. Okay. We're anywhere from 10 to 20 probably, depending on what we're required, where we go, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, my thought was that would help a lot of taxpayers because it would be maybe a little bit less on the how things go up. Just throwing it out there.
Could we take money from the revolving loan committee to do something like that, though?
To dissolve the fund and then appropriate the money somewhere else? Am I understanding that's the question? The reason I'm repeating, I'm having trouble hearing out of my left side, so please.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm asking. Okay. I guess I should maybe ask our
financial. We would have to go back and look at how the fund was originally set up to see if it ever dissolved, if the funds were designated to go somewhere. Sometimes that happens. If that's the case, then we don't really have flexibility. What would end up happening if it didn't, Mike can correct me if I'm wrong, is if it got dissolved and it wasn't specified somewhere, it would roll into general fund, that then general fund could then transfer out to sewer or wherever it wanted to from there to be allocated and appropriated. Is that right?
Yeah. Is there, do we have any interest in the revolving loan committee, in the revolving loan? From businesses or someone looking into it, asking about it?
It's been so off and on over the years.
Yeah.
I think the last one was Ron Lee, wasn't it?
Yep,
yeah, and that's Hunter been Coach. A long time ago.
So do people even know that exists, especially for businesses that are new to town? How do we get the word out there?
Mostly it's word of mouth, all the banks know. So, supposedly, and I can't verify this, but what happens is if it's a business here in Junction that comes to the bank, they let them know, hey, here's this program from Junction City, and try to work it in as part of their process. That's my understanding. Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for us to, like on our the city's website, to put something?
It's on
I'm
website
deviating
now,
here, but
and I kind of like to wait and talk more about the website when it's my turn, because that's
okay.
The
right.
Like
okay. Okay. So we're back to doing terms. Bob, do you have anything else to add? Okay. Gary.
Well, Sandy brought up one of them. That's the sewer plant upgrade. We've started into the pre-design of that. So within the next 5 years, that's going to come to fruition where it's going to be needing to be funded and paid for and built. So that's a big thing for Public Works. The other one that we're looking at is an addition of a well and maybe a smaller treatment plant on the other side of town for redundancy and more capacity. And then as we do those things, then we continue to grow. Of course, we're going to be in the same boat as Chief Morris, where staffing is going to come into play. We've got two positions on the books right now that we have not filled. One of them is for the sewer treatment plant. When we do the upgrade, we'll bring another treatment operator on. And then the other one's for utility that we have on the books. The one thing that we're going to have to watch is sanitation. As we continue to grow, how do we get that all done? So those would be my two top things, would be the water and the sewer. If you're to ask me about a third thing, it'd just be to continue to work on that water quality and picking off those older pipes in town and getting that stuff taken care of.
So everything, pretty much what everybody said.
Yeah.
That is a concern for.
And those have been Public Works goals for.
Yeah.
A number of years now that Jason and I started when he started here, and we've picked them off slowly, and in my opinion, we're 100 times better than we were.
Mm-hmm.
I know some citizens don't agree with me, and that's okay. Nobody has to agree with me all the time.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 25 years here. I've seen the worst, and I've seen this get better.
Yeah.
It's, we're not at the best yet, but we're getting there.
You sure are. Yeah, that's for darn sure. Yep.
I'm sitting here looking at our police chief with the new badges. Does the council realize that we have new?
Oh, yeah, we seen those when they came up on there.
Okay, so everybody know. Okay, just a point in case you didn't. They're very, very attractive, I think, and needed. Okay, Gary, I had a question. We still have a lot of some streets in town that are not part of the city, yes. And that have septic tanks.
Right.
As far as should we be looking? Should the council be looking at some sort of a goal to? I don't know. How do we address it? I guess leave it alone.
So what happens in a lot of the situations is. If somebody, like on Addison, let's take, I had a property on Addison do this. They had a septic tank that was failing. So we look at overall cost of what it would take for them, because they were within 150 feet of the sewer. But overall cost, what does that take for them to get that to and through their property and hooked up? So it's really hard for us to say, you need to spend $350,000 on this $80,000 home.
Mm-hmm.
To get sewer. So in those cases, we usually would.
Did you define what two and through means?
Two and through. Okay, so two and through means it has to hit both edges of your property.
What
so,
yeah.
So you have to come from wherever the sewer line is to the front edge of your property and go all the way past your property so the next property owner can hook up.
And that's the sewer main line, not a lateral service lateral. We're talking the big main
line.
So in those cases, what we've done is we've worked with the county. The county will not issue a permit unless we evaluate that and we tell them that it's not cost effective for the homeowner to do that. In that case, what they make them do with the new septic tank is go to the new system, which is a filter system, which is, it's pretty expensive, but not $300,000 expensive. So, I mean, they're looking at $15,000, $16,000 just to do a septic tank in that era, but that puts a way better filtration system in there. So that's how that kind of all lays out. If they're really close to the sewer system, it's a no-brainer. They gotta run it to and through. I mean, if it's 30 or 40 grand, they're gonna have to run it to and through. And it sucks for a homeowner, I get it, but we've gotta get these people off of these septic tanks at some point.
So, and on the flip side of that, until the city does its sewer treatment plant upgrade, we have to be very, very, very careful who we connect and don't connect to our system. Because just before I stepped into this role, we went through a big process with the DEQ because they were ready to say, no more building in Junction City until you guys complete this upgrade.
Right.
We went through and said, okay, what if we do this project? And this is when Gary and his crew put in the air system out in the lagoons. How much room does that buy us? So we had to list with the DEQ the areas that we said, okay, this upgrade buys us enough room for these areas, and we designated certain areas in town. And what DEQ said is, okay, all that equals to a certain amount of EDUs, equivalent dwelling units or houses. So we have just a certain amount that we've got to be careful that we don't burn through before we get our upgrades done. Now, we accounted for everything in the UGB and then some. So we've got a fair bank of it, but like all that's going on out to the west of town, that eats into all of those credits, you know, and they start burning it down. That, you know, the townhouses, you know, those actually are more so because, or the apartments instead of being townhouses. When we went to EQ, we figured all that behind Safeway was going to be townhouses, not apartments, when we made that pitch to DEQ. So, you know, we've got these things that, you know, you just, Gary's absolutely right. We need to get those septic users onto a main line, but in the same note, we, you know, want to be a little cautious until we get our sewer treatment plant done.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there. To answer your question in short, there is a process in place. we kind of look at it, and some other cities may not, but we kind of look at it from the Public Works Department and the city administrator as, is it cost effective for that person to have to put that sewer on?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be very unfair for me to say, Mr. Gamby, you need to spend $350,000. I know you're only going to get $150,000 out of your home, so you're going to be upside down $200,000. That's kind of crappy of the city to do, mm-hmm. in my personal opinion.
And there's been times we've had to tell the county it's physically not possible. Like, yes. They've had to try to make people connect to a pressurized force main.
Corey Walker.
Yeah. It's like, that doesn't work. He can't hook his house to that because that's the wrong end.
Yeah.
That's the out end, not the end end. So we've had to work with the county to make sure they understand what lines really where.
And I have a pretty good rapport with them, the people that deal with septic tanks with the county. So they know if I'm telling them it's not possible or it's not cost effective. They know we're not just blowing smoke.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So if someone, like the instance that or the case that you just said, how long time do they have to get the new septic tank with all the upgrades?
That becomes a county permit, so it just depends on the county at that point.
So it's not anything that we have? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Question?
Yes.
So if, say, like a... if we wanted to use Addison, for example, instead of each individual homeowner, what if it was like the entire street was in agreement to go and do this? Would it be?
Can I answer this?
It's an LAB.
Can I answer this one?
Yes.
You never did agree.
So we had a great example of this. Mr. Dale,
yes,
for example. Let's talk about
okay.
that.
Okay, I remember that, yeah.
Well, for some folks who may not understand, Mr. Dale was a group, it's Tamarack and Spruce Street off of 10th going north. They were all on a well at one point in time. The well had an issue, and they were as a health hazard annexation into the city. In 1998?
Okay. About a year after I started here.
So the city did some temporary, got the water hooked up, so they had the water. But then finally in 2014, somewhere in there?
2014, I think.
The city finally tried to get an LID put together, and that started with doing full roads, streetlights, sidewalks, bringing up to full city standards. And the problem with the LID is people can come in and object and cause their opinions to be heard. So it ended up going from a full improved standards down to water and sewer only.
Mm-hmm.
No sidewalks, no widening of the streets, no street lighting, nothing. Yet back in 1998, when this first happened, everybody was in agreement at that point in time to do all of that. Well, then 16 years later, everybody changed their mind and nobody wanted to do that now.
Yeah, that was quite a deal.
So doing those LIDs is, you know, that's a little problematic.
What does LID stand
Local
for?
Local Improvement District.
Oh,
basically where the city comes in and says, we're going to do these improvements, and everybody's property along this corridor has a charge that they're going to either pay or have as a lien on their property.
And some of those, I mean, when you do a subdivision, let's take Addison. So that each property there, if we just did sewer, would probably be in the $30,000 to $40,000 range for their cost of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you might get one or two that say, yeah, let's do that, but the other 15 are going to go, hell, no way.
No way.
I'm not spending $40,000.
Now, what we have to do in the long run is look at potential, every once in a while the state comes up with grant funding to extend your sewer systems. You know, every once in a while, not very often, but every once in a while. We are part of the Southern Willamette Valley Groundwater Management Area because we, you know, the septic tanks that have contaminated the upper aquifer. So that kind of helps us, you know, get prioritized for funding when it's available. Seems to be about every 10, 15 years, they take some funds loose. Then you can go into an area, instead of making an LID, you just put in the sewer main line. And then if people go, they just pay their SDC and connect, and then it's a lot more cost effective for everybody.
It becomes what we did at Vista Dale eventually, is we put in the sewer main, we put laterals to each property, and then as those septic tanks failed, they had to hook up. Or if they went to sell their property, they had to hook up. If they did a major remodel, they had to hook up.
Yeah. What was the cost for them in that case?
There was we broke that down pretty low. It was like 20, 2022, I think, $2,022 per property, I think is what it ended up being.
Yep.
And that was if they paid for that upfront. If they decided later on they were going to sell their house and go, that changed everything. They had to pay SDT fees. Pay the full hookup. It went to like $15,000.
Yeah, something like that.
You could sell, that's reasonable.
Gary and Jason were really, that was quite.
See, I had a full set of hair when I started this.
Yeah, that's no kidding. That took a lot of work and a lot of Elmer cooking. It was, yeah.
It's been a lot of meetings done, probably with that group from Vistadale.
Yep.
We met every Thursday for
A lot of work.
Year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even then, it wasn't a unanimous decision.
No, there were still some were not happy campers, but the majority of them were. They started out mad, but they came around, and so it was. But it was a heck of a project, I'll tell you. Yeah.
You had some that wanted like street lighting in over there.
Yeah.
There's drainage issues over there, which expanded street, curb gutter would have fixed that.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to pay for it, so that's why I'm not real fond of LIDs. And the problem is Prairie Road, look at that one for example. Half of it's in the city, half of it's in the county as far as people are against it.
Yeah.
That's why we've never done anything with Prairie Road, because we can't impose an LID on the folks in the county. County Board of Commissioners has to sign off on it first.
Yeah.
And that was a non-starter. So here we sit. 15 years later.
That's why that Prairie Road Improvement Fund sits there. That's the developer had to pay for his part of the improvements, but we couldn't really do the improvements because it's going to go nowhere. And so that money just sits there until something like that happens.
Yeah.
Has there been any more discussion with the county as far as like Oakley or?
As far as us taking it or as far as? Oh, they would love me to take it. I would love them to upgrade it.
Yeah.
So
we're in the impasse there.
And it's, eventually will the city have to take it and 18th? Probably at some point. I try to get them to do as many upgrades to the streets as I can before the city takes those over. We really like to see them brought up to urban standards with just curb gutter sidewalks. That doesn't always happen, but we try to make it happen as often as we can, which is one of the reasons there's that little sidewalk behind the subdivision at the end of 6. The county didn't want to put that curbside because they don't know what they're going to do with the road, if they're going to expand the road, make it wider, whatever. So I got them to put that up against a fence so we at least have a sidewalk there. So I kind of work with them a little bit, but try and force our side as much as I can, because eventually they're going to say, we want you to take over.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. As long as we never take First Avenue, we'll be great.
I told them I'd never take High Pass.
To the police chief. The right now, there's not really anything too much going on west of town as far as actual any homes being built, at the moment. And we were talking about the fully staffed. If especially the big 333 units gets built, which is going to be several years down the way, what do you envision as far as the size of a police department to cover that?
I'd have to look and see what they're actually planning as far as if they're looking at homes, if they're looking at apartments. I don't have any way of giving you that information.
I think it's a combination. It's so many houses, and then there's also going to be apartments or
some of them, I think, are
duplex.
There's some for the 300 lot subdivision. There's some multifamily, but that could be duplexes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, was duplexes.
Which is kind of when we talked to that developer, that's kind of the way he was leaning, is doing more duplexes towards the apartment side and then houses towards 6th Street. As far as the reserve, the phase they're working on now is all homes. The second set of that, which should be coming soon, will be all homes. And that'll be, total build out for the reserve would be 355 homes. And then total build out for the Rolling Meadows would be 300, with some of that being a duplex type setup.
Okay. And I'm sorry, Bob, I put you on the spot there without giving you the information you needed to answer that. But I do have one other. Back 20 years ago, there was a retired police officers group that I know did some work here and also in Eugene.
Cops or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, they would do things like at Christmas, they would go into parking lots and check people parked in handicapped.
They had some citizens, they called it senior citizens on patrol.
Something like
that,
yeah.
And they were just volunteers, they weren't reserves.
No.
But they would go in and like enforce handicap parking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And drive around.
Yeah, they didn't.
But it wasn't retired police officers.
Okay.
So in fact, I think it was just plain old folks, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Had anything to do with law enforcement, but I remember they used to wash their cars, the policemen's cars and that kind of stuff. That's been 100 years ago. It was. I mean, my God, that's been a long time ago.
The ones I'm talking about, they were in Eugene, but here we had a couple of retired people who were helping, but that was been 20 years ago.
That was Jeff was one of those, wasn't he?
What the heck was the name? There was.
Is the Escom?
Yeah. Escom, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, because that's where I see.
But nothing like that is. There isn't anything like that right
we've
now.
We've had a couple people actually in the last month that actually expressed some interest in that, and we've got their names and are looking into doing backgrounds on them.
Okay.
And they're people that are retired, in their early to late 60s. So they're still young.
Yeah,
so it'd be something that would be, I think,
real
viable.
Oh, good. Okay. And we'll go to Mike. And thank you, Mike, for getting this together. As far as our goals, I know we've got one of the things that I wanted to look at, have here, was the organizational chart so that we know what we're looking at presently, and if there's anything if the council thinks will be changing on this, such as having our own planner and maybe a full HR person. But like I say, it's the second page in the packet. If there's anything in the
Mayor, we're going to be a little bit careful because we're treading in the charter of my authority for the organization of the city and staffing needs. So we're going to be a little cautious.
Reorganize. Oh no, I'm not talking about reorganize. I'm talking about it gives them an idea who is actually.
Yes, ma'am, but my thing is that you were talking about adding a planner or, you know, adding these positions, mm-hmm. adding a full HR person, which I'm not quite sure what that means, but those are things that would be under my scope.
Well, yeah, your hiring would be. That the council wouldn't have anything to do with that. I'm talking about so that they get an idea of what we have presently, and there's been talk from the council about especially having a full-time regular planner. I know it was one of the things because it was in the notes I was going through earlier today at the house. But anyway, Mike, what do you have to share with us?
Excuse me. This lady has been sitting here, and I think maybe she needs an explanation as to why we moved on.
Oh, okay.
I apologize. I was stranded in Portland from a dentist appointment, and I wasn't able to be here at 6:30. My name is Laura Sider.
Just so you, I apologize. I did not know who. I just thought you would come in to listen to our work session. So I apologize. You're Laura?
Yes, I am.
I said, okay. How do we handle this? If she is here to give a report on the homeless, we
it's
have to go
just
back.
It's not for the homeless, y'all. It's for people that are mishoused. Since our tragedy that we've been through with the COVID and the pandemic, there's a lot of people that are not housed because of the.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you. We're in work session, so in order for you to talk to us, we would need to go back into regular session. Am I correct?
I'll be more If I could just give me 2 more weeks and I could be more prepared next time.
There you go.
Oh, okay. That's fine. If that works for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. I highly apologize for the...
No, no. I apologize for having you sit there. I did not realize.
No, that's okay, Mayor. I just would like to know if I could have another chance.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so in 2 weeks I can be here at 6:30?
Yes.
Thank you, Jason.
Yes.
And you have a great evening.
We have
a... If you could make sure that we have a contact number.
Jason? Okay, yes, he's got my contact.
Okay, yeah. So in case something, you know, happens that... But anyway, so that y'all can talk to each other and get on the agenda.
Jason, I'll talk to you in a couple of days, okay?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank
you
for being patient. Thank you.
I just felt bad for sitting down. Yeah. I was wondering what that...
Thank you. I did not realize who it was, so I apologize for that. But thank you for bringing it to my attention. Anyway, Mike, can you want to tell us what we have here? I thought it might be useful for...
Oh, do you want me to talk about the handout?
Yes.
Oh, well, these are just pages out of the budget document. So there's nothing here that you haven't seen if you read through the budget document. The first chart is the organization of the departments and kind of where they fall under, you know, whether they're part of the government service or, you know, in the enterprise fund. The second chart is the org chart for personnel, which has been budget for a number of years. And then from there, you've got whatever it is, 10 pages or so of forecast, and this is the same forecast just right out of the budget, and it's a 5-year forecast. You see the budget, current year budget is in the middle in the yellow column, and then the 5 years going forward, and of course that gets out of date kind of fast, but that is the current schedules from the budget document. And then in the back you've got just a few of those charts and like pie charts and things. I actually did number the pages down in red in the bottom.
Yeah.
You start talking about one page, I actually did number them. But anyway, out on page 21, you see the revenue, general fund revenue charts, pie charts. So the property tax allocations, what they current are, is on page 22, what they are in the current budget right now, and then the next page is general revenue, and then those allocations on page 24. So just some things that if you need to refer to them.
Okay, thank you so much for doing this. So what I had in mind with this is it gives us an idea, just reminds us of what we're looking at money wise and when we start talking about our ideas, our wishes, our hopes, and our goals for the city. Okay. Do y'all need some time to look at this or not? Like I say, it just is reminding us of what our present position is, and money-wise, and also what hopefully is forecast for the next few years.
Yes, I'm confused. I thought we were on a work session, and are we doing budget too?
No, we're not doing budget, but I thought it might. We're looking at goals. We're looking at maybe a 5, 10, or 20-year plan. I thought it might help to have the money in front of us.
I have some ideas about what's happening right now.
Okay, go ahead.
I didn't think we could do anything.
Yeah, no, I think this is an interesting discussion, and I think... where this was our first swipe at it, I think it's already been productive. and I'm not trying to cut it off or wrap it up or anything. I'm just saying, like, this was our kind of our first go round. We didn't really know how this kind of discussion went, and I think if we were to come back to this in a week or in a couple weeks, or I think everybody would be more, you know, would be more prepared to focus in, I guess. I'm not saying we couldn't focus in now more, but you know, it's been interesting to hear what people have said and get this information, so.
Is it okay with y'all if I summarize what I think? Yes.
So could I throw a couple of things on the table just for, one, to kind of follow up and reinforce what both Chief Morris and Director Cappin are talking about. I think it might behoove the council to start looking at the question of what kind of metrics do we use to say for increasing staff? Because, like, let's say for any of them, whether it's PD or public works, it's not as simple, you add X homes, you add X bodies. It's never that simple. And there's some industry standards out there for both that might be helpful to look at to identify for the council to set, hey, here's the matrix we want to use, here's the metrics we want to see the city use. So that way staff has that clearly outlined and come back and say, okay, based on that, here's our projections now, and here's what that looks like.
Right.
What we, Gary and I, added with this last time around with the in public works, that's, from my standpoint, about 5-6 years overdue from a staffing expenditure because we added so much. Tagging in with that, it's probably time to start looking at the rate study again. We're 3 years into it now, 4 years?
This is third year.
Third year, so we're over halfway through that. And with that, it may be time now to start looking at master plans again. And having that, especially if the council is looking and wanting to set goals and targets of what it wants to do, especially with public works, master plans are a big thing. Because the city does actually have a traffic master plan, transportation system plan, TSP. We've got one. Mm-hmm. It's been such a weird adventure for that plan, I guess is the way I'm going to say it. It's
some
very unique looks.
Yep.
But it's time to bring that back and kind of, you know, dust it off to make sure, does it still make sense for Junction City? Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't, okay, let's start the process to update that. Mm-hmm. It might take 10 years, but let's start that process again.
Is that the one we did with the state and everybody met over at the senior center and it was
the CCPC and there was a whole, but so many different iterations of that. So public works, that's the water plant master plan, sewer master plan, streets master plan, transportation system plan. Time to look at the parks master plan again. That's not public works, but that's one that needs to be looked at. I know we've talked about that a little bit in community services. Because really, these plans should be reviewed at least every 5 years. We look at to make sure, are they still relevant? Because I can know for the Parks Master Plan, it's not. Junction City has changed a lot since the last time that was done. And I can guarantee you, if you ask the community today, would it rather see an amphitheater or a dog park over in the reserve? It's going to say a dog park, not an amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reserve park, the 11-acre park, is intended to be $25 million worth of improvements,
mm-hmm.
which great, but a lot of things are in there I don't think reflect the community today.
Right.
So, you know, that's where a lot of this can happen to help kind of set that guiding path, which then leads into the long-term looking at, you know, funding, whether it's public works, whether it's police, whether it's community services. And I don't mean the percentage allocations, because that's looking at the tree instead of the forest, so to speak. Looking at it and saying, what is the goal we want? Okay, you know, if the city wants to add 5 police officers over the next 10 years, so that's a police officer every other year, where does that money come from?
Mm-hmm.
Because the growth is not going to pay for that. We all know that. So where did that come from? So now we start looking at that bigger priority. And from staff, like from Mike and I's standpoint, getting that kind of bigger picture direction lets us come back with options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To say, okay, what is that goal? Because, like I said, if you look in the charter, it's the administrator's responsibility to organize and reorganize staffing. I can't do that without that bigger picture look from the council saying,
right,
we want to see this. So let's, like, and because I know city planner was brought up for a moment. Okay, instead of saying, I want a planner, it, to me, what I would be looking for is saying, what services do you want to improve or add? Mm-hmm. That's that policy direction from the council. Then I can come back and say, okay, here you go. Here's options how to do it. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah,
that's
the direction
I'm looking for.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, too, that we all have big ideas. And again, it's cost. And how long would it take if it's feasible to do whatever we think is great? How long would it take? What is a reasonable expectation for this? 1 year, 2 years?
And that's for staff. Why we're sitting here tonight. We want to see those big picture. We want to combine the community center and the senior center
right
into one building. That kind of a bigger picture. Then we've got something as staff to come back and work on and say, okay,
right,
hey, here's some thoughts on that. Are we on the right path? Mm-hmm. You know, city used to do these goal sessions pretty regularly.
Yep.
And even though I hated them being on Saturdays, it drove me nuts.
Just makes me so mad, Jason.
You know, when you only get, time off, you kind of learn to protect it after a while.
Yeah, I know.
But it was always useful because we've got those, here's these big picture things that the council wants to see happen.
Yep.
So for staff, now we've got that ability to start chugging through that, bringing it through the committees, getting it back to council with ideas, with thoughts. Sometimes rubber would hit the road, sometimes... That was a swing and a miss. We'll come back with something different.
Yeah.
So that's really for us why we're kind of ideas. No, we're looking to
right.
you all for.
Well, and I think that if nothing else tonight, the three main things, and I think we all agree on that, are the streets, sewer, water, sewer, and police.
May I add one more? Maybe you guys
use,
consider to add that to that.
Yeah.
I don't want to say communications plan. That's not the right word. But I don't have a better word because the world has changed. Social media is a huge thing. We're stuck more in, I don't want to say the Stone Age, but we don't have a plan on how to communicate to the public effectively and rapidly.
Yep. Yep.
And when that doesn't happen, people are helpful and they fill in the blanks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That is the one thing that hasn't come up tonight that I thought about is an emergency plan for our city. Working with the school and with the fire department and, of course, the police department and the city and the city council, we don't have anything. If we have that big earthquake, we don't have any kind of a plan. The high school would be the logical building because it's new and meets the earthquake, standards. But this building won't.
Yeah. It's absolutely correct. But I'm also looking for more like with Gary and I, we came up with, hey, let's mail out a newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have that online. It's on the web. So, that was that first step toward try to address that digital gap for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that might be a goal that would be attainable in less than 5 years or whatever, a beginning there with...
In redoing the city's website.
Right, right. Yep.
I was against it a decade ago when we went there, but now I'm in a position to maybe do something like that.
So don't...
Yes.
This is a follow-up on what Jason was talking about. I think, as a real positive, and I think it's been communication with all of us here, was when we got the city email accounts.
Yes.
And Kitty sends out an email that goes to all of us. I think that's been very positive, or Bob does. We see it. If we're looking at our accounts, we see it, and I just wanted to say thank you because you are getting that information to us, and then we're able to answer questions if it comes our way. So thank you.
I sure get a lot of spam on that sucker, though. I'll tell you what.
It's
like, holy moly. Yeah. It's like, who are you?
Okay.
I understand.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, hi, Karen. Da 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 da, and public safety in your city, and we're going to take care of you. And that was today from Ken.
Different Ken.
Yeah. I don't know who Ken is, but it's just stuff like that I get rid of. But yeah.
Councilor Seneca has a question she wanted to ask.
I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that didn't do city email. I didn't do city email, so I don't know what's on there. But I was wondering with the. Just so that I have a better understanding, because when it comes to, setting goals, I find, and maybe this will work good for us, maybe it won't, but I set goals all day long with my families that I work with, so we are goal setters. I find it easier. I can go in and say, we need to get this sewer thing done, Gary, and Bob, you need to crease your police department, figure out what you need, and, you know, do this and do that, and what's our traffic plan? And then nothing gets done. So I'm wondering, like, would it be, as a group, should we focus, like, sewer, the well and pump house, staffing, our water and our streets, should we just, like, take those and then figure out? I feel like if we set small goals that, and work our way to our big goal, they're easier to achieve. But if we just say, we need this, 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 and this, I feel like it's harder to achieve when it's not, we've set goals that are unreasonable right now. So, like, how do we get to what we want? Does that make sense?
So I guess...
Because I want to be productive.
Yeah, so I guess from a staff standpoint, we would rather see you guys throw out everything on a list, saying, okay, here's all the goals that we would like to try to accomplish over the next 2 years. Whatever they are. Let's say every counselor comes back with a top five. I don't know. Just picking something, using some of these older goal sessions. Then staff can go through and say, you know, we can categorize these in short-term, medium-term, long-term. Saying, okay, you know, these... Or, hey, there's no amount of time in the world that we could ever get this done.
Right.
You know, we're not going to pump all of our sewage to the moon. It's just not going to happen. You would like it, but not more. Logistically. But, you know, and we can do those. And then, because I think the question to the council is, do you want to keep it all at a council-level discussion? Or do you want to say, yep, this is our list. Staff go forth and conquer and start working it back through the committees. Because I think for us, once you guys say, yes, this is our list, we're going to start working through and working with the committee chairs and start getting that where it needs to go to get stuff done, if that makes sense. Trying, you know, if you guys want to prioritize it, I don't know if trying to set up, you know, working from small to big would necessarily work without knowing what the entire list is.
Okay.
There may be things you can lump together and do all at once, or maybe there's just one thing you do by itself.
Okay, yeah. I just want to make sure, like, that we make progress at these meetings, but it's stuff that's achievable and not stuff that's unrealistic, if
yeah. Right, yeah. Right, and to weed that out, you know, get rid of the ones that are just
tell you
so...
That right off the bat. Okay. Yeah. No, there's no way in the world this is reasonable.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the new, getting the new sewer treatment plant tomorrow, it's not reasonable.
We're good, but we're not that good.
Yeah.
We'll have it in the next 5 years, I guarantee you that, probably.
Okay.
Well, and
yeah, probably.
Probably.
Here's the, here's probably. The, here's
I like
the,
I said, guarantee, like, the next 5 years, probably.
Here's the thing. If DEQ does what they say they're going to do in the next few months, you'll have it in 5 years.
Well, there you go.
And we've been saying that since 2006.
Right.
I know.
Okay, I'm gonna run some stuff by y'all, that notes I made tonight, and see whether yes, no, whatever. One, a really good point brought up by Sandy was out doing a 5, 10, and 20 may not be feasible because things get outdated so quickly in this day and age. So maybe a 2, 5, and 10 might be a little more realistic. The traffic master plan maybe needs to be looked at again and redone. We need to define rules for the council, maybe check the charter, make sure all of us have copies of it. I have one at home, but
right here.
And but things we're really we think need to keep on top of: streets, water, and police. Have goals that reflect what we're going to do with these in the future. And try and see if we can have some percentages on hand to tell citizens about those. What do we want right now? And like a 2-year plan, as I said. We need to fully staff our police department, facilities plan, change the city charter, do a rate study, have that done. And look at our master plan for public works, parks, sewer, and water. And then also look into the revolving loan committee, in that apparently it's not been active for a long, long time. How do we get the word out for that? And of course, the sewer treatment plant and an emergency plan for if we have some sort of a big emergency here in Junction City. Does anyone have anything else that... I think maybe garbage needs to be in there somewhere, too.
Jason also mentioned a staffing matrix.
Excuse me?
Staffing matrix, because it wasn't just police, it's a matrix for the whole city. And I thank you for letting us know about those other positions that at least I wasn't aware of. Because we need to look at the big picture. Because like you say, it's not a fix here and there, it's a fix citywide.
Right, yeah.
And I think we have a problem worldwide, or at least US-wide. I was in Portland, and McDonald's is looking for a shift supervisor, $25 an hour. It's a night shift supervisor, $25 an hour with a $4,000 signing bonus.
Yeah. Yep,
and they can't fill the position.
Yeah. Yep. It's...
I'll put my notice in.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
There.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I know, oh gosh, it's been probably 3 or 4 months ago, if not longer. Taco Bell is offering $14.25 an hour in Eugene and had a big sign up. Walgreens wasn't staying open past 6 because they had no staff to work. So,
but here's something I think that's important that as a council we need to keep in mind too, or at least staff needs to keep in mind, that we need to do our due diligence and make sure we get good police officers. Yep. We get good sanitation, because if we just hire zero experience is great sometimes, because everybody, you can teach them and you can train them or whatever, but like Chief does the backgrounds and the psych and stuff, those are done for a reason. You know, Gary, if he's hiring sanitation, he may want somebody that's got their CDL and got all these things, that have been through that process, maybe has a little bit of experience, because you're going to be taking a huge truck into tight areas here. So we need to do our due diligence to make sure that we have good people that are going to be employees here, that are, because we have tons of staff here that have been employees for years with the city.
Yeah.
And I think that's saying we're doing something right by hiring the right people. We do a good job to keep them. Sometimes we lose a few here and there to E-Web or whatever it is, but we know where to steal them from too.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, we have to, we need to do our due diligence to make sure that we are hiring good people for the positions that we're hiring for, so that we don't end up with bigger problems.
Yeah. The only thing is right now, just finding people, period.
Right.
I
would almost rather
have
run a little behind, have to dish out a little bit of overtime to get the job done, than to hire the wrong people, because that's where we've gone wrong.
I agree.
Agree wholeheartedly.
I agree. Just
and I think
doing.
We
that's
need...
That's what we're doing in sanitation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing. Where we've been short, I would much rather go short than hire the wrong person.
Right.
The thing that I... And adding to that, not only hiring, hopefully, good people, but in making sure that the staff knows that we have here now, how much they are appreciated, and the fact that we will back them up 100%. And I think that needs to be the message coming from the council.
Can
yes,
I say something? So, not to go, just, but to go back to what I was kind of saying at the beginning, one of the reasons I think that really should be one of our goals is to have a metric that we can actually use, is because it's my feeling that there is a ton of work getting done, but because we don't have a metric, we aren't able to communicate that. So people say there was a crime, and there's no context to that because we don't have any, like, we don't have a data. So instead of being able to respond, yes, there was a crime, and our amazing police force has put away, ticketed, cited, you know, 4,321 people this year because they're doing an amazing job. Then you put that crime into the context, the overall picture. Right now, it just says there's a crime, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, there's a crime. Same with the water. Oh my gosh, there's dirty water in my sink at this building. Okay, great. Let's put that into context. What's the context? The city has 500 million gallons of water pumped every year. We passed all these tests. We're in the clear that so then instead of responding with context, we follow along this daisy path of the critic, you know. So I feel like anything without that communication that, you know, that Jason, you alluded to, anything that we do gets buried in this avalanche of you know, false information that's out there, unless we can start putting context behind it, you know. Like Gary's saying, hey, yeah, water might be bad, but we have 421 miles of pipe in the city. We've identified 17 that need help, and we're targeting that in the next 3 years. And then everybody says, oh my gosh, you've already replaced 93%, you know, whatever it is. Then year by year, we can actually say, oh, we have some sort of baseline and we're comparing it to that, instead of always just feeling like we're just swinging out in midair because we don't have any baseline, we don't have any context to this problem that somebody's throwing at us today.
So you're saying that we need to communicate with the public
more? Well, I think we need to know. Like, we need to know some of this data and some of this baseline, some of the context, and then you're able to communicate. But so I'm just going to harp on that one more minute, because I really think without that data and without that context, anything can seem like a crisis. And people can blow it out of all kinds of proportion. You know, oh my gosh, you spent $48 on that? Well, yeah, out of our budget of $8 million, we did at this time decide to spend $48 on this. And, oh, okay, well, that's more reasonable.
Are you saying as a goal then?
I would like that us to figure out some sort of metrics that we're measuring by, and we can see progress year to year. I'm going to just throw that out again as to the council, that I think that would be a good goal. Otherwise, how do you look at anything without context?
So you're like, when we do staff reports, are you saying you'd like for them to say, you know,
I don't know how often. I think that would have to be a discussion, because I don't know how it would flesh out. I feel like frequently I don't have any context to the crisis that's presented. Somebody comes and gets up and they give us this crisis. What's the context? What's the background? What has Public Works been doing for 10 years? Like, we don't have that background in a data form, so we can't respond very well.
But it's a catastrophe to them, John.
Oh,
it doesn't matter. I agree. And the biggest thing is they should be allowed to come and express their concerns if they're mad or whatever. That's just life in the big city. But you can't. It's an emergency or a crisis to that person at that time.
Well, I'm not saying
it's not. You're not going to get away from that.
I'm not saying that we should.
But
I'm just saying we need to have an actual answer instead of
information.
Instead of, like.
That's why Gary's sitting there.
Exactly.
Well, no, I'm not trying to answer.
Yep.
I guess you can't. You can do your best to do that, but things happen. I get. You know, it's going to be. Gary has worked his buns off. And I don't think anybody says he doesn't. And he kind of lines out with his letter how he wants to do things. But then something happens out of that norm. And to that person, they are really mad.
Ooh,
and Gary
funny.
Is the best person on earth to talk him down. That's just going to happen. That's just life, John. You cannot sidestep emergencies for people.
No,
I'm not saying
no.
We should.
You know, so that's.
I don't think that's what he is.
Oh, okay.
Saying.
Okay.
I think what he is saying is we need more information ourselves, plus we need more information to get out to the public.
Well, I definitely think we need more information. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I don't want to become the spokesperson for the city to try to get this information out there. I just would like to have the information and show progress year by year by year. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Yes.
So real quick, Kenneth, this is a great example of what I'm talking about with communication. People, you know, get something bad about something. There's not information out there, so they make assumptions.
Yeah.
And now an issue that's here is escalated with every piece of information that's not there.
Yeah.
And so they finally get fed up with it, come in and unload at the council meeting. They're up here, whereas if we know and have a plan to communicate, maybe we can keep them down here and have them call Gary instead of coming in, taking their 3 minutes to vent, because it's not fair to the council and it's really not fair to staff either, because we're not really in a position to answer that question, because we're not prepared to answer that at the moment. And no amount of data is ever going to make us ready to answer every question that comes up.
I would much rather have somebody who's kind of upset call me than somebody who's completely pissed off.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick, we all would.
You're upset. Give me a call. Let's see if we can talk down. 99% of the time, I can calm that person down, explain exactly what's going on, explain what we've done and what we're doing, and they're fine. There's always that 1% that you're not going to make out.
Yeah. So most people, if you listen to them, and a lot of times that's a big part of it is being listened to. So I think that we, one of the, I think, big problems for not just our council, but for any entity, especially if you're representing a city or a school district, whatever, is to get the information out to them, and in our case, it's the city and our citizens, and not just the information, but also how, if they do have a problem, how they can get that problem taken care of.
Right.
I have a question.
Yes.
I thought I heard you say you wanted to change the city charter, that we were wanting to change that.
No, we're not changing
that. That's
the
what you
city. Okay. No, it was define the rules for the council and check out the charter.
Okay, and
just look at the city charter, because it had been brought up.
Yeah, it's in our,
up.
All of our books that we got. I thought you said change the city charter.
No, I said that was, no, I'm sorry. If I did, I misspoke and I apologize.
Yeah, okay, no, I was just confused because I thought the charter is set in stone pretty much.
Yeah, making sure that we're doing things the right way. And
And maybe one of the goals, were we going to have the evolving, to dissolve the real evolving loan plan? Were we going to talk about that in a...
That was going to be up to Jerry for the next meeting.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Okay. That answers my questions.
Okay.
Thanks.
So, I think if I heard everyone correctly, we, because of things, like I said earlier, things become outdated so fast anymore that doing this 5, 10, and 20-year plan is not really feasible, because things would change too much. So is there anything else anyone wants to add tonight, and then we can come back to this, because I feel like we had a good discussion. Yes.
Oh, I was going to say, before we leave tonight, is there something that we should all come back prepared for the next talk about this on, like, what is staff wanting from council for the next meeting, so that we all know what to maybe think about between now and then to bring back to the table?
So if the council's comfortable with it, what I would like to do is work with Kitty to make sure we've got a list of everything, you know, things that were thrown out tonight, that we internally and staff can kind of kick around a little bit to see if we would like to add some follow-up questions or something of that nature for more information from the council. Once we get that together, then we can kick it out to the council, let y'all get a chance to review it and say, hey, yeah, this jives with what I remember, or hey, whoops, you guys forgot, whatever. Then once we're all happy with that, then come back and set a meeting to get those answers and kind of discuss next steps at that point. I would hate to put it like at a specific date and time, especially with us going into the holiday season. I don't want to try to, you know, both the November and December meetings are pretty full right now. So, and it would give us some time to take to really kind of flush some of the stuff out. And then I can answer what else do we need from council. Right now, for tonight, I think we're good.
The other thing I was going to say, hey, John, where he said communication and the website and that kind of stuff, that might be a really good answer for what you're after as far as people, oh, you know, this is what's going on at the city and the police department or the sanitation department.
That's the reason that Jason and I did that flyer, because we felt like people out in the public weren't getting enough information, didn't understand what we were really doing.
Yep.
So Jason spent quite a bit of time putting that together for me, and I mean, from everything I've heard from the public, it seems to be a really positive thing. So if we continue to do those types of things and then make that grow into more of the city's website where things can be put on there or off the new city website, whenever that happens, a link to public works projects. And then you just see it.
Yeah, so,
yeah, I think using the computer.
I think that's what you're looking for. Yeah. I know you want information too, but...
Yeah, but it's not just about us having it. It's really that the public has it.
Right.
And it's
right.
Not always coming or should come through
and,
me.
And no disrespect to anybody up there, but I would rather make sure the public has it.
Yes.
So that they're not asking you those questions.
Me too.
Yeah. So,
right.
Not,
and that makes
not
it
that
simple.
I don't want you to know. I just would rather have them have the information.
But and there's a lot of stuff that we need to know too. You know, don't skimp on that.
Hey, my door is
open.
But
you're right. Yeah.
I'm always at work.
Okay,
if
guys.
If I'm not at work, I have a phone.
Councilor Wells had something he wanted to speak, and he's speaking.
Okay, I'm sure that everybody, as far as when they say streets, but I think that also includes, you know, the streetlights, alleys, sidewalks. It's the whole thing, together, as long as we all know that. I think we also, maybe in the longer term, and now maybe it's 10 years, we need to look at what can we do to, I call it, have a more vibrant downtown. How can we, how can we get additional shopping? How can we get, and I don't want this to sound negative, but how can we get a nice restaurant in town where any of us would be proud to take anybody to? How would it be nice to have a nice convention center, a hotel that has a restaurant where we could draw people to town? And that's why I say it's got to be a long-term thing. Because then we could tie in all the great things that happen in our outside of town in our community, where we have the agriculture, the water sports, the wineries, and have them come into town and provide things. I mean, what can we do to draw people to our very positive community? And it's going to take time, and it's going to take money, and it's going to take hard work. But I think if we start working on it for long term, it's going to take long term to be successful. And I didn't want to miss the opportunity to get those ideas out.
It's good ideas. That's when you start saying all that. Now that's 20-year goals. Getting not so much the viable downtown. Hopefully that'll happen before that.
Right.
But like a big hotel or something like that. Right. Yeah, could be a goal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And maybe a website, a really good website, would encourage people to come and visit, you know, because we're so great. I don't know.
Well, in the,
but at least you'd be out there. Cause
the percentages and the information, yeah, we need to be using our website probably more than we do in getting information out.
And it's not just the web nowadays, between Twitter, Facebook, right. Instagram, all the other social media really has to be an integral part of digital footprint.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's really smart that you're thinking about that.
So, does any from the staff, and y'all have any? Nothing? Okay.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Okay. I might not have understood this perfectly. So, did we just mix the two things together?
Yeah.
Have we had both discussions?
That's what we ended up doing.
Okay. Can I make one more comment?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we're here
first
about.
Off, that was thank you, Councilor Wells. I love your vision that I'm not necessarily. I'm of the opinion that our downtown has shifted to Highway 99, and I'm going to say that as many times as I need to say that. That's where 10,000 cars are every day, and I really believe we need it. The problem is ODOT owns it instead of us, but I really believe in the corridor there, and not always trying to. I just think we need to include that because that's where the cars already are. So I don't want to focus just on one street. I want to really incorporate, because if that hotel came and it was down by Safeway, I'd still be happy to go there.
Right.
You know, if that restaurant was over there by Garney on a vacant lot, like, great. Anytime people improve stuff, it improves the surround, you know. So, but since I'm really glad Councilor Senega brought up what she said and that we're going to get this back, I hope that when it comes back, people feel free to add things to it at that time, even if we didn't necessarily discuss them here, because this was our first swipe. So if we have a great idea over the next month or so and then it comes back, even if it wasn't on this meeting, we could still say, hey, what about this, and add that into this funnel somehow. But another thing I just wanted to mention that I really think the taxpayers, the citizens that I know in town, are huge fans of the efficient kind of government services that our city provides. I hear over and over people saying that good things about the economical way that our city provides things, whether that be asking for volunteers at the library, having people that donate their time to the community center, whether it be with our staffing and how we compensate people fairly, but we're not necessarily at the highest end of the scale, but we're not also at the lowest end of the scale. Like, there's a lot of really good things our city is doing. And one thing that everybody I've ever talked to is interested in is keeping the cost of government down. And one thing I just keep thinking about as we've been discussing it in these committees, because this council directed us to discuss it, we've been discussing it now for, I think, 4 months, this donation policy of the city. There's very few things that can lower the cost of government better than an active donation system. Now, I said this in another committee meeting, I'm just going to repeat it here. I went to a university for a few years, and they've hounded me for 27 years since I left the university. They've never stopped asking me for donations. They have a huge now endowment because they've never stopped asking for it, right? I've lived in Junction City for 27 years. No, I haven't lived here for 27 years. I've lived in Junction City for about 17 years. Nobody's ever asked me for a donation that benefited our city. Now, if I only lived there for 3 or 4 years at the college and they harp on me for 27 years and they're never going to stop till the day I die, what do I love more, my hometown or the college I went to for a short time of my life? I just think there's some real power in this idea of donations, and I think people love Junction City. This is our hometown. I think people would donate some of their estate to Junction City. And if we could figure out how to do that like the universities do, we could lower the cost of the government in our town and increase the services without raising taxes. And I just think that this discussion of the donation policy in our committees has really opened my eyes to the possibilities that are out there. If this government entity, which is totally entitled by all the laws to receive donations, if we promoted that, we could lower the cost of government in Junction City, which every taxpayer in town would love. So,
our police chief is a shining example of that. The fact of what he has gotten donated.
Yeah, I think,
and,
I mean,
and I agree. I agree yeah. with you. It's an avenue we have not looked at. So, that's.
I was going to mention that in the 5, 10, and 20-year plan segment, but I'll just, since we mixed them, I'm just throwing that out there right now. But I hope that gets into one of the committees or on some one of the lists as well.
I think it's on the list already somewhere.
Okay. All righty. Does anyone have anything else to add, staff or council?
I just think it was a good conversation tonight. Yep. I wanted to thank everybody. I thought it was.
I think it was an excellent.
Came in not knowing, and it was broad. And I think we got good feedback from staff, and I just want to thank everybody.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming too. Yeah. I mean, this takes your evening.
Yes, and for sitting through it with us.
That's what I
appreciate it. Okay, if not, if no one has anything further to add, I'm going to thank everyone for coming and close this meeting of the city council at 8:05.
We're early.